challenge you to take a more active part in your future. Don't leave it to chance. How often we'll say, well, if I get a job over there, I'll move. You know, if I get a job here, then I'll move. Well, if this happens and happens to come up, if I make a friend, then I'll stay. If I don't, well, whatever. You know, I'll just marry the first person that shows me attention. Just because my wife Anna did that, you don't have to do that. No, don't leave your future to chance.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope, coming your way from New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. It's true, a lot of people believe their life is just a big roll of the dice, a series of random chances. Some days you're dealt a good hand, the next day you get the joker. Well, today Pastor Wayne will show us two things. First, that God has a plan for our lives, but equally as important, he asks for our participation in making that plan happen. It won't happen by itself. Here is Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, Deciding Who You Will Be.
Let's take out our notes as we continue in our series called Divine Decisions. Each of us will have to make some decisions. And today I want to challenge you to have a more vital part in the choices that shape your future. We all have choices. I was a youth pastor. Anna and I came home and someone had broken into our house. And now the only problem is, you have to remember, I was a youth pastor and I don't have anything. And so the guy went through everything and took nothing. I thought the joke is on him. And if I remember correctly, he left me a sympathy note and $5 out of his own pocket. But it's not as bad as the Portuguese guy that got robbed. He came home and his house was robbed. And so he was so upset, he called 911, said, send a policeman to my house. Well, the dispatcher, the only one they had was this canine unit that was doing another investigation near, so they sent them over. And so he says, knock, knock, knock. He opens the door and this guy with his German shepherd, and the Portuguese guy starts crying. And he says, what's going on, sir? What's going on? Oh, he said, first of all, I get robbed. And then I called 911 and they sent me one blind policeman. But you want to know the greatest theft going on today? It's not property theft. It's not auto theft. It's not robbing banks. You know what it is today? The increasingly rising crime of today is identity theft. In this last year, 12 million people were victimized by identity theft. People hacking into computers and data banks and stealing people's identities and using that for commerce. In fact, if you think about it, that was 30,000 people a day getting their identity stolen. And you know what the rate of arrest is for that? Less than 5%. On the rise? Absolutely. In the last 2 years, did it rise 15%? No. 30%? No. Last 2 years, 80% increase in identity theft. It's bad when people hack into your computer and steal your identity. You know what's worse is when we abdicate our identity. When we lose it for just not following after, looking for who are we? Not taking any choice about our future, because we forget that it's the choices, not chances, that make our future. And you can lose who you are, lose your identity by following the wrong models, by following wrong examples, so that you end up being somebody you really don't want to become, someone you really didn't want to, but because of the pressure of the crowd or whatever it might be, we just kind of let the chances of life make our future. And we model after the wrong people. Did you know that right now there's a show on TV called Extreme Makeover? It's a different kind that through plastic surgery now, through plastic surgery, they can make you look like your favorite celebrity. Isn't that nice? Like Gomer Pyle. That'd be good. Yeah. But we follow after the wrong models and we lose our identity. In fact, let's read together in Romans 12 and let's see what the Lord has to say at the top of our notes. Would you read it with me? Go. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Yeah, Proverbs 16:9 says it this way. It says, the mind of a man plans his ways, but the Lord will direct his steps. In other words, if the mind of the man doesn't plan, what in the world does the Lord have to direct? He includes us in his plan for our futures. I want to challenge you to take a more active part in your future. Don't leave it to chance. How often we'll say, well, if I get a job over there, I'll move. You know, if I get a job here, then I'll move. Well, if this happens and happens to come up, if I make a friend, then I'll stay. If I don't, well, whatever. You know, I'll just marry the first person that shows me attention. Just because my wife Anna did that, you don't have to do that. Yeah. No, don't leave your future to chance. Why not? I thought you said God had everything planned out anyway. So do we have a choice in the matter if he's got it all planned? Absolutely. You have a choice. In fact, the most precious gift that God gave to mankind is a gift called choice. And I can imagine that when God gave that choice to us, that treasured gift, he gave it with trembling hands because he knew that if we misstewarded this gift, it could destroy our own futures. The way you use choice will either make you or break you. It will bring you a future or it'll steal it from you. The way you steward choice can bring good or it can bring destruction. It can encourage a life or it can debilitate a life. It's the way that we steward choice. It's a gift that God gave to his creation called human beings that he had given to no other part of his creation. The very volition, the choice to even reject their own maker. And so for fear that we missteward our choice, because knowingly we can use it well and it'll gain us eternity, or we can misuse or abuse choice in rejecting God and we will have a separation from God forever. It's like he puts that in our hands. And even though he's planned so much, we can still choose to reject it. Does God have a plan? Mm-hmm. Has he established it? Absolutely. Here's something I want you to catch right at the beginning, and then we'll talk a little more about it. Would you write in your bullet there, God has established, or his plans are established. God's plans are established. Well, wait a minute, Wayne. If he's got his plans established, we don't have a choice. No, you do. But when God establishes plans, for the scripture says, forever, O Lord, is thy word settled in heaven. He establishes his plan. From the beginning of time, God planned to create the earth, create mankind, create this planet. And then knowing that man would need redemption, he planned and established redemption, that he would come and pay the price that we couldn't pay. He knew that that plan would be rejected by man. So God had to make a way, and he knows, and it's established that in the end, we're going to stand before God. No matter what man believes, his plans are established. However, in the midst of all of that, there's something that God's given to us as a gift. He's planned it all, but it's not like a dictator plans. No. God plans like a loving father. A loving father that has his first child, loves his child so much, that he says, I'm going to plan everything for this child. I'm going to start saving. I'm going to sacrificially save for this child so that, and he looks up the tuition of Harvard and all the way to get his master's degree or doctorate degree. And he says, I'm going to set aside enough money, sacrificially save, so that this child will have the opportunity to go to the best. And it's all being set out. It's established. His plans are established. So he's going to sacrifice. He's going to save because of love for his child and establish that. But there's one thing still that has to be factored in. It's that child's what? Choice. Even though that father has his plans established out of love, not out of dictatorial kind of thing, but out of love, he's got it all established. But the child can still reject it. So does God have everything planned? Absolutely, because of love. Does that mean we don't have a choice? No, you have a big choice. Big choice. Because that child can grow up and say, I don't want to go to Harvard. I don't want to go to any college. I just want to cruise the rest of my life. The Father's plans are already established. Do we have a choice in it? Absolutely. You have a part to play, even though the Father's plans are established. But when you talk about God's plans being established, creating the world, etc., you're going to have two positions that you're going to run into, even in today's society. In fact, just recently in Time magazine, it talks about evolution and how intelligent people need to really think through this. And then recently, an author named Sam Harris has come up with a book called The End of Faith, and he's got another book called Letters to a Christian Nation, where he is an atheist, is refuting the things that God has propounded. And he says it in this way. He says, you cannot think you're intelligent and accept the fact, as Christians do, that God created the world in 6 days. He says, utterly nonsense. And the whole book is based on that. Well, you will have a sense of nonsense if your premise is nonsense. Because you see, what we try to do is, as mankind, is we try to measure God. And here's where his problem comes. He tries to measure God with the same measuring tape or ruler that we use for human beings. When the Bible says that as the heavens are above the earth, so are my ways above your ways. We try to measure God with our ruler, and then we say, surely God can't do that. Why? Because man can't do that. And we measure. We measure him with our ruler that's measured in inches or centimeters, and then we measure God's timing like we do mankind with a Timex stopwatch or a Seiko stopwatch. And God doesn't fit that, so therefore, he is not true. Well, there's a problem right there. You see, when we measure man, let's say, because he said, you know, it can't be, even if a day is like 1,000 years, the Bible says, even if it's 6,000 years old, we know that the world is 500 million years old because of carbon dating, etc., fossils, etc. So it's got to be more than that. You can't be intelligent and think the Bible is true. I said, well, time out. First of all, you're measuring God with a wrong standard of measure. So if your ruler's messed up, your measurements are messed up. First of all, man, when he's creating something, we move it like 5 miles an hour if I'm painting a picture. Or we can move as fast as, you know how fast the shuttle moves, NASA's shuttle that goes space shuttle? 17,500 miles an hour. That's pretty fast. So he said, whoo, man can bless you. Man can really move fast and sneeze a lot. And we just crank. We can move quickly, 17,000 miles an hour. You know how fast that is? That is 4.8 miles per second the shuttle moves. 1,001. It's 4.8 miles away. Woo, that's fast. 4.8 miles, almost 5 miles per second. Now, the Bible says that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. So if the Bible is suggesting that God has the characteristics of light, because he's so far above us, if you take a look at Einstein's theory of relativity, light moves at not 5 miles per second, 186,000 miles per second. That's how fast light moves. Watch this. God, hi, where'd you go? Oh, there you're back again. Hi, God. Oh, there he is again. Within that time, where'd you go, God? I checked on the world, went around it 8 times. That's how fast he moves. And you've got his cherubim and seraphim and angels. And if they're all moving at that, do you understand why God can be omnipresent? Checked on the world 8 times all over the place. So you see, in 6,000 years, if we move at 5 miles an hour or 17,000 miles an hour, we can't create much. But in that same amount of time, moving at 186,000 miles per second, what seems like 500 million years worth, God can get done in 6 days or 6,000 years because he moves at a whole different strata than we move in. It's a whole different thing. And man can't understand that. But if we try to measure God with our ruler and our stopwatch, no wonder we say it's impossible. So it doesn't matter what man thinks. Even the greatest scientists will say, you can't believe in God. If there are atheists that are really intelligent, so to speak, people, does that nullify God and who he really is? No, not in your life. Let's read what it says here in Romans 3, verses 3 and 4. Let's read. Go. If some did not believe, their unbelief will not nullify the faithfulness of God, will it? Rather, let God be found true, though every man be found a liar. Yeah, in the end, you know what it's saying? In the end, guess who's going to be true? Guess who's going to be false? Man, you got to set that up. That's a foundation. So God has established his plans. They're established no matter what man believes. Now, we're still learning. That's fine. We are not opposed to that. But in the end, I want you to know God will be found true no matter what we think. So his plans are established. All right. Well, what's the other position? One is God's not involved at all. He hasn't established anything. On the other side, you'll have another position that people say, God's established everything down to the most minute detail, and he's even decided who's going to hell and who's not going to hell, so we really don't have a choice. And even Judas was chosen to betray Christ, so it wasn't even his choice, so he hasn't even sinned. It's all set up. So you'll have people on both ends of the spectrum, and you know what? The devil doesn't care what end you're on, because he don't care what side of the boat you go off, so long as you go off. And you have no balance left. So you can have some that are on the religious extreme right saying, no, God's established everything. There's no choice at all. No. Remember, God has established his plan of redemption, his desire for us to have all of heaven. He sacrificed in order to give you everything the Father wants to give you, but you still have a choice to play in his established plan. What is that? Would you write down the next bullet? We decide what part we want to play in his plan. You decide what part you want to play in God's plan. Now, his plan's already established. What part do you want to play? Big part? Small part? Positive part? Negative part? You want to hinder God or you want to be cooperating with God? You want to reject his plan or you want to accept it? You want to go along with it or you want to go against it? It's up to you. There's a lot of parts that need to be played, and you choose. That's right. So Judas chose to play a bad part? Absolutely. It was his choice, not God's. You choose. I don't know about you, but I want to play a good part, a big part, and a positive part. That's a choice, and God's given us choice. And with trembling hands, he says, please steward this well, because it'll affect your future and the lives of other people around you. Do you understand how precious that gift is that he's entrusted to us? And Judas made that choice. Let's read what it says here about that. Would you read it with me? Go. The Son of Man is to go just as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had not been born. Yeah. God is saying, man, use your choice well. Yeah, it is written. God's plan is going to be rejected by man, but don't be one of them. You choose. So his plan is established. What part do you want to play? What part? Remember that your future and mine is not determined by chances. It's by choices. You say, you know, Wayne, great, we'll go with that. But I've already made some pretty bad choices already. I don't know. Is there hope for me? Can I really get on the bandwagon? Can I get on the right track? How do I start? Because I can't do it. Man, I just need more help. My brain just doesn't work that way. Where do I start? Where to do with what you've done or what you can do? No. You know what it starts with? Would you write down number one? Believe what God can do. Oh, it's going to be really helpful in your faith. If you catch this, believe what God can do. Now keep listening because it's not done. It's not, okay, I got it. No. It's not just, well, yeah, I got that already. I learned that in Sunday school. No. Listen carefully. Believe what God can do. Because when you're believing what God can do, it puts your mind into a can-do mode. It gives you hope and it gets your faith unleashed. Because if you think, I can't do that anymore, I just can't. In my marriage or in my life, I just can't. Okay, stop. Do you think God could do it? You think God can move a mountain? Yeah, well, I can't do that. It's too hard. No. Do you think God can move a mountain? If God can create the universe, do you think God can move a mountain? Do you think God can do this? Do you think God can make something good of this church? No, not you. Do you think God can do it? How many of you believe that God can do whatever he wants to do? Yeah, how many of you believe God can do a good thing with our lives? Yeah, not us, just him. Right. That's what begins your faith, because it's what God is doing, and all I can do is just follow. He said, really? There were some blind men that found their way to Jesus, and they just wanted their eyes open so bad. They didn't know what to do. Now listen to this conversation as we read it together. Would you read it with me? Go. The blind man came up to him and Jesus said, "Do you believe that I'm able to do this?" They said to him, "Yes, Lord." Then he touched their eyes, saying, "It shall be done to you according to your faith." And their eyes were open. Would you underline, "Do you believe?" And then circle the words, "that I am able." Well, yeah, you're able. Okay. Then be it done to you according to your faith. Well, that's easy. I can believe God can do it. Yep. That's the beginning of your faith. That unleashes your faith. Just like he said to the blind man, "Great. And according to your faith, it'll be done to you." And he touched their eyes and their eyes were healed. He didn't say, "Do you believe that you guys can have the faith for this?" Mm-mm. "Do you believe that I can do it?" "Yeah, I believe you can do it." Good enough. That's your faith. Huh? Is it that simple? In actuality, it is. Faith isn't something you've got to grovel in the dust for. It's not something that you got to beat yourself on the head to attain. It basically begins with this. "Do you believe that I can do it?" "Yeah, Lord, I do." Good. That's the start of your faith. And if you'll keep believing that, let me take the lead. And all I want you to do is find out what I'm doing in your life, because I've got the savings. I'm the loving Father. If you'll find out what I'm doing, all you got to do is cooperate with it. You don't need to do it. I'll do it. You follow. I lead. Come, follow me. That's the beginning of your faith. Really? Yep. Here is a secret. All you do is you look through the Bible and find out what God is already doing. And when you just kind of jump into his program, it sure is a lot easier. Because it's already going that way, you see? All we have to do is get in his lane of traffic, not in the opposite direction. Turn your car around 180 and get in his flow of traffic, and the current moves you. "Do you believe that I can do it?" "Yeah, you can. Get on the bus. I'm driving." Huh? Yeah. Look through the Bible and find out what God is already doing in you and cooperate. Like how? Let me give you a case in point. In Galatians chapter 5, it talks about the Spirit of God or what God is doing on this earth through the Holy Spirit. Now, it says the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the what? Spirit. So who's bearing this fruit? The Spirit of God. Yeah, so God is bearing this fruit, not you. No, it says the fruit of the Spirit is, and he enumerates them, love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. So what kind of fruit is God wanting to bear? Love, the fruit of joy, the fruit of peace, the fruit of patience. He's already working in my life to produce that. So you know what? The best thing I can do to be a part of what the Holy Spirit is doing so that he can bear the fruit of love in my life is simply be loving. Huh? Yeah. He already wants to bear that fruit in you, Wayne. So just be loving. Then you'll be in the same lane of traffic going the same way. But if you are refusing to, and I don't choose to love that person, then guess who's going to get in a head-on crash and guess who's going to win? You see, I need to turn my car and just find out what the Holy Spirit's doing. Be loving. That's the best way to cooperate with the Spirit of God and what he's doing in my life. Be a peacemaker. Use my choice to be a peacemaker rather than a side taker. Love, joy, choose joy. My joy is defined as I'm going to do and cooperate with what God is doing. Yeah, but my feeling says, no. My joy, I find joy in doing. You got to choose that. Yeah. I mean, you got to choose joy. Yeah, I thought joy was feeling. No, that's happiness. See, happiness comes from happenstances. When the happenings are good, you are happy. But joy is a choice that I make. The joy of following Christ. That's my joy. Yeah, but what if you're feeling? I don't care. My joy. That's why James 1 says, "Consider it or choose it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials." In the midst of trials, you can choose joy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you just choose. Does it feel good? Mm-mm. Mm-mm. But can you choose joy? Mm-hmm. Why? Because the Spirit of God is already trying to produce that in my life. Patience, goodness, be good, Wayne. Kindness, be kind. And when I do, I'm cooperating with this, with what the Spirit of God is already doing in my life. And guess what? It accelerates that in me.
You have just heard a message entitled Deciding Who You Will Be by Pastor Wayne Cordero of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. Thank you for listening. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you a great day in the Lord and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.